More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show kicks off right now. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. And we've got a lot to get to. Karine Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary, gets a little bit agitated with the question about whether or not Joe Biden has dementia. It's an insult to even think that this guy who clearly has dementia has dementia. I mean, it is beyond the pale, sir. We shall get into that. RFK Jr. names a super rich lady who was formerly married to one of the Google founders as his VP. We discussed this a little bit yesterday. A lot of people who were like, yeah, RFK Jr. is going to speak truth to power about the big money and the system are like, feeling a little different about it, but Trump put out a truth. I guess that's what you have to say, right? A truth.
It's put out a truth.
It's a truth.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. And I look at the way that they control that. I like it. They're controlling the language a little bit. We'll discuss the RFK Jr. thing just because of the implications for the general election. We've got Dave McCormick with us in the third hour. He's running against Casey in Pennsylvania. It is a winnable, but fiercely contested Senate seat for Republicans. So we're going to spend some time on that and some of the other important Senate races because it's probably going to come down to a couple Senate seats. I mean, it almost certainly is going to come down to a couple Senate seats, and that's going to make a big difference for a whole host of reasons. Biden is lying, or is he lying, or rather just doesn't know where he is or what he's saying. Depends on the day, but he talks about first of all, the national debt, and then talks about the train over the trains over the collapsed bridge in Baltimore, Francis Scott Key Bridge. Yes, we shall discuss some of what Biden has been saying on this. And then the Ronna McDaniel. Do you want to dive into this first? I know we've already talked about this issue, but can we just, they did it. Okay. They actually fired the former RNC chair. I think she did one interview, and the reports are they're going to pay her $300,000, for both of the years of her contract. And now for NBC, that's nothing. Remember, NBC had to pay out Megyn Kelly's contract a while ago at like $70 million or something. So
correct.
$600,000 for them is a rounding error. I mean, the amount of money that these corporate news outlets can put toward stupid decision making, in this case, firing, well, in both of those cases, firing, talent, is remarkable in and of itself. But Clay, I've seen some people saying this. I think our friend Molly Hemingway, who is brilliant and also has brilliant parents because apparently they listen to this show frequently, which makes me very happy. Our friend Molly Hemingway from Fox, I think she said this, or maybe it was Carol Markowitz who said this on X. Republicans should not go on NBC or MSNBC at all going forward. Full stop. Elected officials, nobody. That's it. You don't need it. Why go on it? Why play their game? It's pure propaganda. They play by no rules.
Yeah, and look, I know that the way that
Ronnie McDaniel is treated here, a lot of people probably don't care because a lot of you are not huge Ronnie McDaniel fans. And I understand that. We had her on three times on this show and she was great for us as a guest. But even when we had her on here, people were saying she wasn't right wing enough. What I think this is eye opening and should be eye opening for a lot of people is they're trying to establish litmus tests. And the litmus test is if you vote for Trump or you support Trump, you aren't able to be on their network effectively. Even the things that they were saying were, we're fine with Republicans, and all the Republicans they're fine with are Liz Cheney. If you can't be on the network and vote for the Republican nominee for president, they aren't interested in actually talking to at least half the country. And if NBC had some incredibly sterling level of journalistic integrity, maybe I look at it and say, okay, they don't want to employ somebody because they think she's going to be too much of a propagandist. Buck, they hired Jen Psaki, were reportedly negotiating with her while she was still working as White House press secretary. There are a long litany of things that Jen Psaki said that are patently untrue, including endorsing the 51 intelligence agents who said that the Hunter Biden laptop had all the hallmarks of misinformation. She lectured all the big tech companies and threatened them that if they weren't responding to censorship requests from the Biden White House surrounding COVID, there effectively would be consequences. Joy Reid wrote all sorts of evidently homophobic things on her blog back in the day and then claimed that it was somehow hacked by time travelers who went back and wrote things negatively that were up for years that she claimed she has no idea how they got there.
I think she also called for an FBI investigation of it to really just hammer home how insane it was.
Chuck Todd went on Meet the Press and lectured anyone who didn't get the COVID shot that they were a direct threat against public health. And most memorably, Rachel Maddow has been wrong on everything. She said that Trump won the election in 2016. She said his tax returns were, that he won because of Russia. She was leading the Russia collusion hoax, probably made more money off of it than anyone in media because that's the reason why her ratings went up. She lied and has never apologized to her audience for saying if you got the COVID shot, it would stop all transmission. These people have spread. My point on this is whatever you think about Ronna McDaniel, what she has said publicly is no worse than what the highest, not to mention Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, what the highest paid people on MSNBC have all said too. So the idea that they're lies, journalists here, their lies are in furtherance of what they want to advance.
Correct. And Ronna McDaniel's firing was addressed by Rachel Maddow, who is the biggest name at MSNBC. And as we've discussed, paying her $30 million, which is completely one day a week. I mean, that's a great gig. Here she is explaining, engaging in some propaganda herself here about why the firing of Ronna McDaniel isn't the act of just vindictive partisan cowardice that we can all see that it is. Play five.
I mean what I said on the air last night on my show, that I think that acknowledging that you might have gotten something wrong is a real sign of strength, a real show of strength. And I think it's a show of strength, and I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company and who make us who we are, that leadership is willing to change on this. And I'm grateful to them. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case because of Ms. McDaniel's and her involvement in the election interference stuff. And I'm grateful that our leadership was willing to do the, I think, the bold, strong, resilient thing.
I mean, discuss, she should be ashamed of herself and all the people that are calling for the firing of Ronna McDaniel, because you have to understand, as I've said before, put aside whether I think a lot of our people think she's a rhino. A lot of you right now think she's a rhino, right? And so if that's the perception of the base, meanwhile, she's the most establishment role you can have, which is RNC chair. I mean, it would be as though if there was somebody, let's say that, they were going to give Kevin McCarthy a job as a commentator somewhere, and they're like, he's outside the mainstream. It's like, well, he was Speaker of the House. I don't know if you can really say he's outside the mainstream. That's really what they've done here with Ronna McDaniel. She's beyond the pale as former RNC chair. What does that make you and me? You know, what does that make everybody else, all of our friends on the right who are involved in these discussions? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Ronna McDaniel's too crazy for them, we got to be locked up in a cell somewhere.
Couple of things too on this. One, I agree with Rachel Maddow that when you get things wrong, you should talk to your audience and acknowledge them. Has Rachel Maddow ever acknowledged that she was wrong about Russia collusion? Has she ever acknowledged that she was wrong about the COVID shot? I don't think she has. Second part here, and building on what you just said, this is really letting you know that basically they don't want anybody who supports Trump to be allowed on television, which is a furtherance of their idea of censorship. They don't even want people to be able to hear an argument for why you might be willing to support Trump. And for everybody out there, I think this is important. Fox News employed Donna Brazile. Did Sean Hannity start off his show talking about how angry he was at Fox News because they were employing Hillary Clinton's? I think she was the campaign manager, wasn't she? Whatever her official title was. She was very high up in the Clinton 2016 campaign.
She's a real Democrat. Like, correct. Anybody, she's a Democrat. Anybody in the Democrat Party have, so yeah, Donna Brazile, she's a Democrat. She's put in the time. She's worked for their cause.
And she lied and said that Trump got elected because of Russia collusion. And she said that 2016 was stolen from Hillary Clinton. She said all those things. Yeah. Sean Hannity didn't open his show. Tucker Carlson didn't open his show. Laura Ingraham. They allowed that. Where is their actual discussion of ideas, though? I do think it's important to compare MSNBC and Fox News in that respect.
And I think that, first of all, a lot of the reason why I think you'd have far more Democrats going on Fox than you see if it wasn't for the fact that they take untenable positions. You know, go on Fox News and try to argue with Sean or Jesse or, you know, any of the opinion hosts about how men can get pregnant. Like, see how that goes for you as a Democrat member of Congress or a pundit or whatever. You're going to get smoked. So Fox is willing to have them on. I think even more would go on if it wasn't for the fact that they realized that they would have a lot of trouble. You know, I'd be willing to go on MSNBC or CNN if it was going to be me and the host. The problem is you can't go on those shows if it's a host and a guest. Because then all that happens is, while you think you're in a boxing match with the other guest, the host comes up behind you with a stool and hits you in the back of the head, and then you hear the bell ring, you're like, what just happened? Like, it's a setup. I did this at CNN. It's a setup. It's a scam. You know, Don Lemon did that to me at CNN. I mean, this is like the way that it works. It's not your show. You don't get to control the pace of it all. But again, Clay, I think the funniest part is, okay, so what Republican right now would be the top hire if Rachel Maddow had to pick? You know what I'm
Mitt
saying?
Romney. Like,
what? But isn't that hilarious? I mean, that,
yeah, I mean, I think that's the answer.
Lisa you have Murkowski. To be an anti-Trump. You have to be an acceptable Republican to the Democrats in this election cycle and be on the media on platforms they control. You have to be a Republican who wants the Democrat to win the election.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's bonkers.
You have to be the Washington Generals. They're the Harlem Globetrotters. You're the Washington Generals who gets trotted out and loses every single game. You're the convenient, use the jobber. You're the guy who gets beaten up by the star wrestler who inevitably is going to end up triumphing. But you have to at least give the idea that there is a real fight going on.
I think that was true. More true at CNN during the Trump administration. There's been a transition. I mean, Clay, to really belabor our analogy here, it's like the jobber now steps in the ring and is like, I agree with the star. Let's go body slam somebody in the audience. Like, they're not even, you know, if you watch MSNBC, which I do occasionally, I find it, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have watched more MSNBC in the last few months than I have Fox or any other, you know, cable news channel because it's entertaining for me because I see what they're saying. They want people on who just sit there and do what the so-called conservative on The View does, which is just basically agree with all the Democrats about how Trump is Hitler and the election is going to be the end of the country if he wins. And that's it. You can't have somebody who goes there and is like, you guys are saying there was an insurrection, Clay, led by people who were walking around and taking selfies and a dude in a furry hat who clearly had some emotional stability issues that they engaged in. and no lethal violence of any kind, and you're really going to say it's they're going to overthrow the government?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy talk. And I was trying to think, who was the CNN guy? Was it Jeffrey Ward, who was the huge Trump guy that ended up getting fired?
Oh, I knew he was going to get fired. Look, I'll tell you, I told, what's his name? Steve Cortez. I said, because I had been a CNN contributor and I left. They offered me they actually wanted to keep me, which I thought was hilarious, but I was like, I'm out of here. Because they used me for terrorism analysis, you know, whatever. But I told, Cortez, I was like, dude, you can't, eventually they're going to betray you. And they did. Because the whole point of you being there is to get filleted. And so if you're not getting filleted, they're going to just push you out.
I don't even know who a prominent Trump supporter that appears on MSNBC or CNN would even be at this point. Do you?
I mean, nobody of any, we would know. Think about all the clips. By the way, if it was about the business model, think about if you or I were invited, I don't even know who's in CNN primetime. I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you who's.
It's Caitlin Collins and Anderson Cooper are the only two I know.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, imagine if
Cooper's been there a long time. I don't even, Don Lemon got fired. Caitlin Collins. I'm not even sure who else is. Yeah. Anderson Cooper for your analogy.
But their whole Democrat media apparatus of journalism and the whole thing has collapsed into a farce. We've known it's been a lie for a long time, but now it's actually laughable. It's absurd. And this firing of Ronna McDaniel before she could even start her job, is just classic. This is the thing about libs. They're such babies, honestly. Election denier. They all denied the election. Russia collusion was one giant election denial scheme using the DOJ to try to lock people up based on bullcrap, okay? They're the original election deniers. I was going to say, don't get me started, but we are just getting started. We'll get back into this.
It's true.
Citizenship in this country is a valuable gift. If you ever doubt that fact, there are tens of millions of people the world over who would trade places with you. But recent events have shown us that not every American has a strong sense of citizenship. That's why our friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on the topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. This latest creation from Hillsdale is led by historian Victor Davis Hanson. He discusses the history of citizenship. He explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, identity politics, the administrative state, and globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with family, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are just one part of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. It's worth watching. You can do so free of charge. Sign up today at Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Go to clayandbuck4hillsdale.com. That's important. You got to throw in the four. clayandbuck4hillsdale.com.
Speaking truth and having fun. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruze, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We're talking about the fallout of the decision to fire Ron McDaniel. I will say, getting paid $600K for one interview is good work. I think the challenge for anybody out there is it's hard to get into media. And if you are willing to support Donald Trump, you and I are. Just about everybody out there listening is going to end up supporting him. Especially we need to talk some about this RFK announcement, which I watched yesterday, and just, I don't know who's advising him, but did you see that they started with an apology to Native Americans that had lived
in the
area?
Oh, I want to get to that. I've been very skeptical of this RFK Jr. fellow from the beginning. So,
well, I agree with him on the COVID stuff. I agree with him on the censorship industrial complex.
We agree on the COVID stuff, but I've always said, what about all the other stuff? And if you're going to open, I mean, opening with an apology to like the native tribe that used to own the land or whatever, that's up there with announcing your pronouns. It really is.
I agree. I mean, if anybody does anything about apologizing to native landowners, I'm out. Like I would literally have stood up and walked out if I were in that event. Look, my home state of Tennessee, known for many great things, including a company helping 1.5 million families, that's Legacy Box. Legacy Box will solve the problem of digitally transferring old media onto digital files like VHS tapes or cassettes. Coming up on Easter, how many of you back in the day had Easter egg hunts in your yard? We did. How many of you had VHS tapes that were taken of the Easter egg hunts? We did. How many of you have digital files of those old Easter egg hunts from the 70s, 80s, 90s that may have been taken? I bet hardly any of you. That's what Legacy Box does. They take your old videotapes and they digitize them. Usually these tapes cost $30 each to digitize. Right now, just $9 per videotape. 65% off. Go to legacybox.com/clay. Great Easter gift. Preserve your family memories. Legacybox.com/clay.
Okay, we mentioned this before, and I wanted you all to hear it yourselves before we start to dissect this politically. So RFK Jr. has announced that his and weren't we told at one point who was in the mix again?
Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura. So Jets fans can relax out there. Your quarterback is not running for vice president during football season.
I got to tell you, I think either of those picks would have been more popular, at least with the RFK Jr. Voter base than I'd never heard of this person before. So, and you and I, we make a living reading and thinking of, and talking about politics all day. Never heard of Nicole Shanahan before in my life. I mean, maybe I saw some story back when the Elon/Sergey Brin Wall Street Journal thing was published. But before we get to that component of it, and keep in mind, you might be saying, Buck, third party candidate, who cares about his VP? The data shows that it really could come down to what RFK Jr.'s campaign affect. What states does he get on the ballot and who votes for him in those states? That could determine the presidency. So theoretically, the future of America, maybe the future of the world. So it could have, I know that's a bit of a butterfly effect view of things, but it could have some major, major ramifications. But first up, at his vice presidential announcement, he opened with a land acknowledgement of the Muwekma Ohlone Indian. Are you familiar? I'd never heard of the Muwekma Ohlone personally. I can't say that I've celebrated their
work,
you know, their whole catalog before.
Yeah.
But the Muwekma Ohlone Indian tribe, play four.
Wodo bo epedi, hedi, ayo, ho, 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 ho,
Okay, I mean, I think if this
is there any words other than this? Like, does it just keep going?
No, I was
going
to say this should be our new intro music for a while. But anyway,
that would actually be amazing if we started the show by apologizing to Native Americans.
Every show,
every day,
we would do a new chant apologizing for
new tribe.
You for Tennessee, me for Florida. Hey, Tennessee and Florida, a lot of stuff happened there. A lot of stuff happened.
And Tennessee named after whatever the group was. I don't know. That was here.
Yeah.
It's the name of what they called the Native Americans called the region that I live in now. Yes.
Yeah. Safe bet in America. If the name of your town or city is long and hard to spell, it's probably from a Native American tribe. Tallahassee, you know, there's a lot of them.
Yes.
I'll start with this, Clay. Anyone who would make the decision to start a meeting with an acknowledgement of the stolen land is someone that I do not trust. I will just say it. I do not trust that person. I don't care what other issues they're good on. This to me is for me, it's a disqualifier. Full.
Yes. I would not. This is, by the way, some of you out there have probably never heard of this before. I read about this a couple of years ago and I did a deep dive on it because I was stunned. This is happening at colleges all over the place. It is now commonplace for colleges, for classes, to begin the semester with an apology to Native Americans for the fact that we now live on their land. Not making it up, this actually occurs. And I think it's just evidence that while you can agree with some of what RFK Jr. says, it's a little bit like, to me, Buck, the guy who believes in every conspiracy theory.
He's going to be right once in a while.
But you're also going to end up going down crazy rabbit holes. And to me, that's a little bit what RFK Jr. is. He's the guy who recognizes and calls out some conspiracy theories that are true, but also you're really kooky in other areas. And so I think he's right on COVID. I think he's right on government censorship. He's got those right. But if this is a big event for him, Buck, the announcement of the vice president. What you choose to do and how you choose to make that announcement, to say nothing of who you pick, to me is evidence of your decision making in general. Opening with a Native American apology is a I'm out moment.
Yeah. And to, I know that he's very concerned with the environment. The environmental movement in this country has become almost entirely the province of a delusional left wing climate change mania. I mean, there's very little. It's so interesting. If you talk about conservation, then you'll have conservatives in the conversation. Conservation of the environment, conservation of species. A lot of right wingers. I'm one of them. We love animals, right? I mean, conservation we're all about. And that's something that, it's just that one change of word. The moment you say you're an environmentalist in America today, chances are it means you're saying you believe in climate change and you double masked during COVID and, you know, you went along with this monolith of establishment consensus science. That's not really consensus and that's not really science. But before we get too far, speaking of rabbit holes down that one, I mean, here's RFK Jr. So the whole native land thing, I just want to know, how long do we do that for? Like in 1,000 years, are we still supposed to be saying, I'm sorry that this was land stolen by the way, at the end of the day, all nation states are stolen land. I know this is like a shock to people, but all countries are on land that used to belong to some other group, to some other tribe, to some other religion at some other point in time all over the world. I mean, maybe there's a few exceptions in like, you know, the South Pacific, but
also all those Native American tribes fought over the land themselves. So they stole it from each other all the time.
And the Comanche enslaved other tribes, and the Aztecs were a slave empire, and they would slaughter thousands of people as human sacrifice. They would murder children, rip their hearts out. They enslaved all the neighboring tribes. This notion that the only people that ever have done conquest are white European colonial settlers is completely ahistorical ignorance that relies on the lack of history knowledge that unfortunately is pervasive across a lot of the American landscape these days. A lot of people just don't know. I mean, you know, this is why you start talking about like the Islamic white slave trade, right? The slave trade by Islamic traders in white Europeans. People, you walk around, you ask people about this one, they'll look at you like you're insane. This went on for 400 years. They were sending slave ships to grab people off the coast of Ireland. They made it from North Africa to Ireland. They went a long way to get their slaves. They went to Iceland at one point to pick up, to steal slaves. Like, anyway, slavery
is... Every person listening to us has ancestors who were slaves and probably enslavers because that is the history of humanity.
Yeah. I mean, even if people had a basic foundational understanding of the Old Testament, for example, they would say, wait a second. I don't think that the Jews were in Egypt because they were invited guests, you know?
Yeah.
The understanding of slavery as a multi-thousand year, the Roman Empire built on slavery, the Islamic Empire built on slavery. Anyway, we would not have time to get into all this, but this idea, it's completely ahistorical, it's nonsense, it's garbage. And also that they talk so much about the Native American genocide, the fact of the matter is, and something else you're not supposed to talk about, but about 90 to 95% of the casualties in the New World or the loss of life in the New World came from spread of disease.
Yeah.
That's actually what happened. Now, that doesn't excuse the other stuff that was going on, but what was going on? I mean, who was attacking who and where? And anyway, sorry, I get fired up about this because this stuff is so omnipresent on campuses and in the media now too. Here's RFK Jr. naming, we're getting back on track, naming his San Francisco lawyer Nicole Shanahan as running mate. Play three.
I wanted someone who would honor the traditions of our nation as a nation of immigrants, but who also understands that to be a nation, we need secure borders. And I found all of those qualities in a woman who grew up right here in Oakland, the daughter of immigrants, who overcame every daunting obstacle and went on to achieve the highest levels of the American dream. So that is why I'm so proud to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, my fellow lawyer, a brilliant scientist, technologist, a fierce warrior mom, Nicole Shanahan.
Or he wants somebody who can write huge checks because she used to be married to a founder of Google and now is rich. That's another part of this.
Yeah, huge part of it. Question, she's the one who underwrote the Super Bowl ad that aired for RFK Jr., which was, to your point, you started off by saying the first time you had heard of her, that was the first time I'd ever heard of her in terms of a political context. Question for you as we go to break. I'll ask it when we come back. You don't have to answer it right now, but all of you out there too. RFK Jr., third-party independent candidate. The debate is over who is he going to impact the most. But let me ask you this, Buck. What if he were the actual Democrat nominee? Would he beat Trump? If instead of Biden, remember he initially ran as the Democrat nominee, would RFK Jr. as a Democrat be a stronger candidate than Biden? Just think about it. Don't answer it right now. That's what we call a tease in the business.
Clay is just, he's pulling the plug on the stereo system. He's turning on the lights at the house party. Everyone's frozen. They're like, is this a cop? What's going on? We're all on the edge of our seat right now. What's happening?
I'll give you my answer and we'll get yours as well when we come back.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation continually delivers on its promise to do good and never forget 9/11. They focus on our nation's heroes and the sacrifices they make. Heroes like U.S. Army Specialist James Donaldson. Donaldson suffered a terrible injury when he was hit by an IED in Iraq, losing his legs. Tunnel to Towers provided him with a mortgage-free, specially adapted smart home. These smart homes make it easier to live independently, which makes a big difference physically and psychologically. Your donations make that possible. Since 9/11, Tunnel to Towers has been committed to supporting America's heroes and their families, all while making sure America keeps its solemn promise to never forget 9/11 or the service members who sacrificed their lives and bodies for our country. Join us in donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar you give goes directly to their programs. Join the foundation on its mission to do good.
24, Clay and Buck's weekly campaign cliff notes. Episodes drop Sundays at noon Eastern on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing
left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough. That we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of what, is that my baggage? It look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I believe that is Beck bringing us back. I used to have this cassette tape back in the day. Remember Beck?
Is that I'm a Loser Baby?
Yes. Fantastic song.
I like the riff, but I'm like, I don't know about the message.
Yeah, I mean, I can barely keep up with the lyrics of any song today.
Have you ever, like, later on in life, thought about the lyrics of a song you grew up with and realized, oh my gosh, he or she is talking about very naughty things. I didn't realize.
Yes, but also, at least you can understand some lyrics. Go back and read the lyrics to Nirvana. I mean, none of them make any sense at all. It's like almost indecipherable. And that doesn't even get me into today's rap. Like it's all mumble rap. Like my kids like it. I can't tell what anybody's saying.
It's interesting. I like 90s rock a lot.
Yeah.
I do not like Nirvana. And I know you're not. That's like.
You're not allowed to.
It would be like saying you're really pro masking, but you hate Fauci. Like you're not allowed to dislike Nirvana and like 90s grunge rock, alternative music. But I do. I don't like Nirvana, but I love Stone Temple Pilots and Soundgarden and Smashing Pumpkins. All the other ones, I just don't like Nirvana. So
the 90s, I would argue, maybe the best in terms of pure range. That music has ever been.
Our listeners, 40 to 50 something right now, are pumping their fists in the air and thinking about that time that, you know, they were at the stadium listening to Stone Temple Pilots with their, high school girlfriend or college girlfriend or whatever. Everybody else is like, that's blasphemy. I'm just telling you, this is a very generation specific.
I agree on some level, although the range of music today, it seems to me, is far less significant in terms of the quality. Like you had the 90s rock bands that were at their apex. Rap, I would argue, peaked in the 90s in terms of.
But have we turned into two middle-aged white guys who are saying the music today isn't as good as it was when we were growing up?
Who is the best rock star in America right now? Is there even that is like popular in the 2020s that didn't exist before now? I don't even know who the band would be. Rock is definitely worse. I understand a lot of you do not listen to rap. My 14-year-old, 13, I can't even keep up. He's going to be 14 soon. He plays this stuff. I can't, it's mumblecore, they call it or whatever. You can't even understand anything that anybody's saying.
This is not good.
By the way, we didn't mention this. Diddy is getting arrested.
We start getting too nostalgic about Soundgarden.
Oh yeah, well I teased something, didn't I?
Yeah, we got to actually dive in here too. Would RFK Jr., right, the question you pose, everyone yes. on the cliffhanger, I'm trying to pull us from the edge here. Would RFK Jr. as a Democrat nominee, period, be more formidable, and perhaps be able to beat Trump?
I think the answer is yes.
You give your answer first.
My answer is yes, and let me tell you why. RFK Jr., if you are out there right now listening to us, and let's say you're not a diehard Trump person, RFK Jr. would give you a couple of things. I mentioned COVID. I mentioned a censorship complex. Heck, he's the only person in the Democrat Party I've ever seen who said men shouldn't compete against women in women's sports. He has some border security strong points. I think he actually would have appeal for middle of the road voters. I asked you this off air. Other than maybe implementing Trump trade policies on China, I'm not sure I can point to anything that Biden has done where I say, you know what? That's a decent, moderate position.
This will get, this will be an unpopular position, but I think it is a reflection of the truth. I think that ending the war in Afghanistan was the right move. I think that the screwed up way that they did it and the loss of life that was unnecessary was awful. But overall, we're not at war in Afghanistan anymore. So, and that's
getting out of there was the right call.
We should have been out of there a long time ago. That's just the truth. We should have been out of there a long time. Trump was trying to do it. So anyone who disagrees that Trump was trying to do it for all and got us closer to doing it and told the Taliban, you kill any of our guys, you know, you're going to wake up to a Moab on your front lawn. Not a lot of front lawns over there, but you get what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I've been there.
Not a lot of picket fences.
Not a lot of white picket fences.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Australian Labradoodles running around happily in the, you know, in the barbecue area. Anyway.
Not a suburban paradise.
No, not so much.
So what do you think? He'd be more formidable, right? You begrudgingly would have to acknowledge as a Democrat nominee, RFK Jr. would have been a far better choice.
He matches Biden for name recognition with the Kennedy thing. He is old, but not Biden old. So that's a big thing in his favor. I think the problem is the Democrat establishment would far rather have Biden as president, not necessarily running, because he's more malleable, because they can pull the strings on the marionette with Biden. I mean, you know, like almost literally, like move his arms around and pretend like he's talking. Whereas RFK Jr., I think he does have his own ideas, and I do think he's a strong-willed guy. So that wild card is something they would want. But yes, theoretically, Clay, I think you're right. Your analysis is sound on this one.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about RFK Jr. Also, one-year anniversary Covenant School shooting. Want to talk about that, too, next.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.